राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद विश्वभांगेश भक्ति वैरांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आगवेश दिय संबल देवती आगवेश दिय संबल देवती आगवेश दिय संबल देवती आगवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग निगम कल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुकारं मृतद्रवसंयुतं पीबत भागवतं रसमालय महुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकः ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 25 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस This is text number 10. Devahuti is speaking to her son. Devahuti is speaking to her son, Lord Kapila Dev. Word meanings, Atta, now, may, my, Deva, O Lord, Sammoham, delusion. Actually, Prabhupada translates it as great delusion because of the sammoham. Apakrishtum, to dispel, twam you, arhasi, be pleased, yaha, which, avagraha, misconception. Aham, I, mama, mine, iti, thus. Etasmin, in this, yojita, engaged, twaya, by you. Atame deva sammoham. Actually, I want to mention one thing. In the third line, it ends with a Y, but that's when you put the two lines together. You do the tia, but since we stop at the end of each line, I just pronounce it like an I, which is actually what it is. So, Atame Deva Sammoham. apakrashtum tamarhasi yovagraho hamamaititi etasmin yoditas tvaya atame deva sammoham apakrashtum tamarhasi yovagraho hamamaititi etasmin yoditas tvaya atame devi sammoham apakrashtum tamarhasi yovagraho hamamaititi etasmin yoditas tvaya. Atame deva sammoham apakrishtum dumarhasi yovagraho hamamaititi atame deva sammoham apakrishtum tamarhasi etasmin yojitas tvaya. Translation. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The false ego of identifying one's body as one's self and of claiming things possessed in relationship with the body is called maya. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and for me come everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. So you see the point that Prabhupada is making here right away. She's saying, you're the one who put me in maya, made me identify with this body. Because you say in Bhagavad Gita, I'm sitting in everyone's heart and give everyone remembrance. And so you're making me think that I'm this body. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in devotional service and another in sense gratification? If that were true, it would be an incongruity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But that is not the actual fact. Actually, it kind of is the fact, but there's a reason for it. As soon as a living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship to the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by maya. This capture by maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment for the possessions of the body. These are the activities of maya, and since maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility, not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly, it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. So Krishna does make somebody remember Krishna and somebody else forget Krishna. But it's not his desire to do so. He's responding to the desire of the devotee or the person, the jiva. Now kindly get me free from this entanglement. So you get me into this, please. Now I want to get out. So she knows who Kapila Dev is. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. So that's a pretty all-encompassing statement. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. So this implies what Prabhupada is actually going to say. You'll see if you forget the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment which are considered to be pious are also sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Actually, there's one place where Prabhupada said one reason you don't want to do pious acts is because you have to come back in your next life to reap the results of them. So he gives the same example, actually, in another place, in a lecture I heard. He says four times. So if you give somebody, you know, $1, then you have to come back in your next life to get $4 because the interest builds up. It's like when you put money in the bank, you've got interest, a bearing account. So the karma that you do collects interest in your next life. You have to get more, but you have to come back to get it. That's why even giving in charity under the mode of goodness, because it's a karmic activity, is not considered good. So Prabhupada is saying any action, if you're not in Krishna consciousness, if you're doing it for yourself, then it's sinful. Giving with the purpose of gaining something is called charity in the mode of passion. So this is a direct example. This is passion when you want something for yourself. The mode of passion means fruitive action. Ignorance means you don't really do anything, more like inaction. And goodness, of course, means enlightened action. So passion means you want the result. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature, and therefore all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment, and we think, I am this body. So this is part of the consequence. We have the gross reactions and subtle reactions. Imprints are made on our chitta, the deepest level of our consciousness, material consciousness. And then we think in a certain way. We have certain desires. Those things are all carried over from the activities that we performed previously. Not only in our last lives, but from many, many previous lives. Those impressions stay there until they're wiped away by Krishna's presence in our consciousness through his holy name or in other ways. I think of the body as myself and bodily possessions as mine. Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. So that's the basic point of this verse. She wants to be free from ahankar. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion, sammoham. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and I've identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Devahuti understands these things are not beneficial to her, ultimately, the soul, the jiva. And she's very fortunate because of her devotion. Krishna doesn't appear as your son unless you already have devotion. So she must have been a great devotee for the Lord to take birth as her son. So she has this understanding. And of course she's speaking, she's playing a role here. This is a leela, of course. Whenever the Lord comes, he performs different leelas. So he has parents, and they play certain roles. So part of what she's playing here is putting herself in the position of an ordinary conditioned soul who's suffering because of ahankar. So she's approaching the authority, the proper person. Of course, Krishna is the ultimate authority who can deliver her from that, which of course is not an easy thing to do. We can't do it ourselves. We can't get ourselves out of illusion because all of our thinking is illusory. Prabhupada applied this principle to the Mayavadis. They say everything is Maya, but they're implying that even their Maya thinking is going to get them out of Maya. So how can your Maya thinking get you out of Maya? You have to be above it. You have to go to an authority, a source above your conditioned nature. And if you want to be free from your entanglement, you need someone who's not tied up to tie you, to untie you. So she's asking for that. And of course, he's going to respond. This is chapter 25. And this Kapiladev Leela here goes all the way up through chapter 33. So this is a very long section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, very important. Of course, Srila Prabhupada spoke on it. Teachings of Lord Kapiladevi has a whole book. I mentioned in my last class how when we give class, we have to take what comes. But Prabhupada, he decided what he was going to speak on, generally. And a lot, he spoke on teachings. Teachings of Kapiladev, teachings of Queen Kunti, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And like that's what he selected he was going to speak on. He didn't speak on, you know, the cosmology of the universe, for example. He didn't choose those chapters when he was going to give his lectures. He chose teachings because, of course, there's a lot of substance there to deal with when you're going to speak. Especially, of course, Prabhupada is speaking always extemporaneously. He just didn't prepare for his classes. He didn't have to. Of course, he's always speaking Krishna Katha. So he loved those. Just like when in Mayapur in 1976, Prabhupada was giving class every day on Prahlad's teachings. So then I heard in some room conversation with some of his leaders, he said, "Isn't this wonderful how Prahlad, 5-year-old boy, is teaching this wonderful philosophy, speaking this high philosophy?" So Prabhupada loves speaking on the philosophy that's brought up in different places. So Lord Kapila is very important. There are many important teachings in Lord Kapiladev, so we'll be hearing about those. And this is partly due to the mercy of Devahuti playing her role. So today I'm going to also speak a little something about Balaram. That was part of the plan, the assignment of those of us giving us classes coming up to Balaram's appearance day. Now, I've been planning to read from this book, and now the author is present. It's called Cowherd Boy's Nectar, or Sri Sri Prayo Bhakti Rasardama. Not the author, the translator. Sorry about that. And this is about the Sukya Rasa. It's actually a very elevated book. It's especially written for those who are Raga Nuga, and they want to, you know, actually become cowherd boys in Krishna's Leela. But I think it's okay what I'm going to read today. It's not, you know, anything that's too intimate, you might say. The author of the book, his name is Nayananda Thakur. He was present in this world in the 1700s. And he's he comes into the disciplic line of one of the Dwarish Gopals. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when he came, he had especially 12 cowherd boys. They're known as the Dwarish Gopals, who accompanied him. He's Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda, of course, is Lord Balaram. So when he comes, he gets to choose who comes with him. It's like when you're a big person, you get to choose who's going to accompany you on your trip or on your mission. So 12 Gopals especially came. One of those, his name was Sundara Ananda. So this Nayananda Thakur, he comes in the disciplic line. This actually, Sundara Ananda is Sudama in Krishna Leela. Nayananda Thakur, he comes in the disciplic line of Sundarananda, who aka Sudama, Sudama Sukha, one of Krishna's most intimate friends. So the part I'm going to read today, towards the end of the book, there's an Ashtakalya. So you know in Radha Krishna Leela, we hear about Ashtakalya Leela, what Radha and Krishna do during the 8 periods of the day. So there's also the same thing is given for what Krishna does with his cowherd friends during the day. So there's a period of the day Let's see. It starts around 12:24 p.m., basically. This is called... So the way the book is, there are all of these periods. There are 24 periods. They're called, each period is called a danda. So the period from noon to 12:24 p.m. has just ended. So it's the middle of the day. This is part of the middle day pastimes of Krishna and his friends. So then it begins. So what happens is, so after that, after what we, if you were reading this, what you have just heard, the cowherd boys were doing, it says, after that, Srinandasuta, a.k.a. Krishna, along with Subal and several other confidential friends, leaves the general assembly of boys and goes to a solitary place on the pretext of searching for some stray cows. So maybe you know what this is about. What happens is that Krishna goes to see Radharani, with some of his intimate cowherd friends. There are certain cowherd boys who are involved in Krishna's conjugal pastimes. They witness them and they act as go-betweens between Krishna and the gopis and so on. You know, you hear some of these stories, like when Krishna is stopping the gopis from, you know, taking their yogurt to sell across the Jamuna and so on. So Krishna's there, but he's there with some friends. Some of his friends are there. They take part. And of course, the gopis are there. So there's all these exchanges, especially between Krishna and the gopis. And there are boys who, they witness these things and they take part in them. So these very confidential associates of Krishna, they leave with him at this time of day, 12:24, just after midday. So then we hear what happens then is that then the cowherd boys are only with Balaram. Krishna's not there for a little while. So this is what the section that I'm reading is. Krishna is there with Balaram. And one of the names that was mentioned here left with Krishna is Subal. So when you hear about Krishna and Balaram, you don't hear about Subal in these pastimes because he's not there at that time. He's with Krishna doing what Krishna is doing with the gopis and his most confidential friends who get to witness all these things. So this is how this begins. So Krishna has left to supposedly look for stray cows. That's always part of Krishna's leader. There's always supposedly stray cows. And they go looking for stray cows and certain things happen as a result. So then here, so back to here, now Lord Balaram, it's just Balaram now with the cowherd boys. So at that time, Haladar, or Balaram, takes charge of all the cowherd boys headed by Sridhama. So Sridhama, of course, is Radharani's brother, so he doesn't go when Krishna's, he's out of the way when Krishna's consorting or playing with Radharani and her friends. And they go to the forest of Srivan to search for other cows, so they're also searching for cows. While tending the cows, Balaram and the other boys perform numerous sports while enjoying the pastimes of boyhood. So you hear these things. These are familiar things. Nothing too earth-shattering here, but nice to hear about them. They pick flowers, climb trees, and enjoy tasting fresh fruits. Krishna tells Mother Yashoda, she's worried that, she's always worried that he's working so hard herding the cows. But Krishna says, we just go there to play, Mom. It's not like we're really working out there. Herding the cows is more or less an excuse that we just play all day. They dance and sing and clap their hands and play their armpits in a musical way. So we're all familiar with the basics of that, but apparently they are very expert at doing it in a wonderful way. They jump here and there and exclaim, Abba, Abba, while herding the cows, and they play on flutes and buffalo horn bugles. This is one reason Krishna has buffaloes, water buffaloes, because they get the horns, and they, even Krishna plays the horn, the buffalo horn sometimes, but especially Balaram, we hear about him playing the buffalo horn, and all the other boys too, they also play. They behold the splendor of the visions of the forest, decorate their bodies with red clay pigments, and with the gait of maddened elephants, they flail their arms as they run. You can just picture, they're goofing off, they're throwing their arms around. Thus the cowherd boys play in the company of Ram, Balaram, and wander throughout this forest of Srivan up until the 18th danda, 1248 to 1112 p.m. This section is called Pastimes in Kumudvan. After this, Balaram, accompanied by Sri Dama, Sudama, and others, proceed to the forest of Kumudvan. In this forest, the various blossoming flowers sweeten the breeze. The bees sing and the peacocks dance. The shari and shuka parrots chant, and the cuckoos make the sound kuhu, kuhu. The forest birds all chirp as the cranes and herons warble. Holodar then begins arm wrestling and stick fighting along with Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, and other boyfriends. Like, you know, it's another thing kids do. They have sticks and they do like sword fighting. So they do that. And arm wrestling. Many birds sit in the trees making diverse kinds of chirping sounds. And some of the boys imitate those same sounds. So the whole atmosphere is just indescribably wonderful and beautiful. Everything, of course, is beautiful. There's beautiful flowering trees, unlimited variety, and anything you can think of that's beautiful in nature, it's all there, and they're enjoying that, and of course, to a superlative degree. Let's see. Some boys dance just like the peacocks do. And some of them walk just like the swans do. Someone imitates a maddened elephant, and someone acts just like a lion. Others move like frogs, and others move like snakes. Others move like baby elephants. Thus the boys play childish games, swimming in the rusa-laden, mellow sports of Ram's company. In this regard, there is the following song. So this is actually written by the author. I won't read the, I guess it's Bengali. Here's this is the translation. Dancing in the company of Holodar, the boys mingle with their friends in great bliss, just as the peacocks become maddened with desire and dance when the rain clouds arrive. By their bracelets, bangles, and bells upon their ankles, they resound with profuse dance vibrations. Holding hands and forming a circle, Holodar dances. Sri Dama is there, plus Sudama, Subhadra, and Arjuna, holding hands and dancing to the beat. Also Vishala, Vrishabha, Bhadra, Mahabala. While they are dancing, they exclaim, Bhaya Bhalo, O brother, very nice dancing. Beholding this sight within the forest, the animals and the birds become stunned in bliss. The cuckoos sing as the peacocks dance, all gazing at the face of Holodar. It said that Lord Balaram's face is like crystal, or sometimes it says like a moon, because the effulgence, he's effulgent, Krishna's effulgent, but he's white, so he's glowing white. He says so beautiful white, and Krishna, of course, is dark. Let's see. The male and female bees fly around in groups, and the sound of the cuckoos is all-pervading. This servant called Nayana, the author, is immersed in bliss beholding these sports in the forest. So he's beholding them. We're beholding them by our hearing. So that's the end of his song. Thus, Sri Ram, Balaram, becomes flushed with color. So he gets some red in his face, or maybe some other colors, who knows. While performing these fun pastimes within the forest of Kumudvan. Sitting down at that place, they eat some sweet preparations. Thus, the coward boys are situated in Kumudvan until the 20th danda, 1:36 to 2 p.m. So Krishna and the coward boy, they eat a lot, actually. They're never having any problems with something to eat. And not only are things sent from home, but they also, of course, they're eating fruits and different things that are there in the forest. They really don't need anything sent from home because it's all there. But the devotees want to serve. The parents want to serve. So they send servants out with make sure the boys are never hungry. The pastimes in Bhadravan. After that, everyone leaves to go to the forest of Bhadravan. Sri Dama, Sudama, and all the other boys in their company enjoy various mellows with Balabhadra as they wander from forest to forest. Arriving in front of Shyamakund, everyone becomes ecstatic to behold the splendorous beauty of that divine lake. It's funny, when I read this, I thought, well, Shyamakund's right next to Radhakund, and during the midday, Krishna enjoys pastimes with Radharani at Radhakund. So somehow the Lord's Leela Shakti can keep the two types of Leelas separate. Maybe they're not all there at the same time. I don't know, but that thought came to me. Shyamakund is embellished with various trees and creepers embracing each other. The creepers are embracing the trees, and the trees are embracing the creepers too, apparently. Numerous types of flowers are blooming as bees fly from blossom to blossom. Actually, we tend to be afraid of bees, but you hear a lot about bees in Krishna. It's one of the glories of Krishna, even Vishnu. Bees are always hovering around his fragrant garland, but they're a welcome sight. And sound, their sound is also very beautiful. At that place, they rest briefly at the base of a tamal tree, while the songs of the cuckoos and the bees steal their minds and ears. So we know sometimes the birds can sing very beautifully. So we can just imagine how beautifully they can sing, not necessarily just one note, but all kinds of melodies. To the south of Shyamakund is the grove of Sridhama, known as Shatavarga. So just like the gopis also have their different groves, and Krishna enjoys in different groves or kunjas. So the cowherd boys also have kunjas assigned to them or manifested from their bhava, their service, desire to serve Krishna. They're extensions of themselves, you can say, or non-different from themselves. So this is mentioned here about Sridhama's kunja. It is known as the dancing grove, Natya Kunja, of Gopal Sridhama. It is completely studded with jewels and constructed in variegated ways. This dancing grove glows with a color that is pinkish. To the eastern side is a very excellent banyan tree, which has hundreds and hundreds of thousands of branches and sub-branches. Under the pleasantly cooling shade of that tree is a platform made of solid gold. It is a place of supreme bliss where no discord could possibly exist. Of course, that's true of everything in Vrindavan. Thus, Balaram comes to that place in the company of his boyfriends, and he rests upon that platform for a brief nap. The followers of Sridhama, who are always in great bliss, prepare various sweet edibles and fruits. One by one, they bring the preparations and offer them to Ram. And in the company of his friends, Haladar enjoys eating these palatable items. So you can see now the focus is on Lord Balaram because Krishna is absent. After drinking cool water, he tastes betel nuts. At that place and at that time, so this is something Nayananda is saying to the aspirants for this rasa. At that place and at that time, please render service unto him. All these pastimes of the cowherd boys playing merrily in the company of Balabhadra continue up to the 22nd danda, 224 to 248 p.m. To the east of this place, at a little distance away, is a very enchanting sporting grove, Ranga Kunja, which is a festival of happiness. It is the exceptionally fascinating grove of Sudama Chandra, full of blossoming flowers. Its coloring is pinkish. The grove is surrounded by creepers and bushes and is decorated with various types of birds. Bees fly to each and every flower in search of honey. In front of the southern gate is a tree known by the name of Hari Talika. At its base is an altar formed of various jewels inlaid into solid crystal. Upon this platform is a lion throne, Singhasana, of 100 levels that has no comparison anywhere. To the south of here is a grove by the name Rasalaya, abode of mellows, which belongs to the group of boys headed by Suchandra. This is the headquarters for Suchendra and the other Sakhas and Upasakhas who are followers of Sudama Chandra. So the Coward Boys have their groups also. Now Haladara takes Sri Dama and other boys to that place, and they all become very blissful to behold the splendor of that sporting grove. What time is it? 8:43. Maybe I'll read one more section. Krishna's going to return now, but there's a little more about the boys playing here, so I'll read some of this. At that time, Bhagavan Sri Krishna suddenly returns. So it's been, how long? He started around noon, so now it's two, so almost 3 hours. Krishna is gone. Krishna is accompanied by Subal, Ujjwal, and Madhumangal. So I mentioned that Subal especially takes part in this, Ujjwal, but of course Madhumangal, whenever you hear about pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Madhumangal is always there because he's a joker, so he creates a lot of comedy in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he also goes with Krishna during this time when he leaves the Cowherd Boys. All the Cowherd Boys become so ecstatic that Krishna's back that they plunge into the ocean of loving bliss, prema ananda. Krishna satisfies his dearmost friends with the nectar speeches of his very sweet words. Then Sri Ram and Krishna take all the boys, headed by Sri Dama and Sudama, and sitting in that grove, they enjoy a festival of happiness. In the center is Natabara Hari, the best of dancers. That's one of Krishna's names, Natabara, the best of dancers. And to his right is Rama. To his left sits Sri Dama and Sudama. And in front is Subal and Ujjwal. So these things are described because these devotees on these advanced meditations, they meditate on these. The scene is given and you can meditate. It's a kind of meditation. There's two kinds of meditations devotees do. One is actual active pastimes unfolding, and the other is static. It's sort of like video and stills. So devotees sometimes meditate on the still shot and sometimes meditate on the video, the pastime taking place. There are technical words for these. In the center, okay. To his left sits Sri Dama and Sudama, and in front is Subal and Ujjwal. All the boys sit in their appropriate positions. At that place, the followers of Sri Dama engage in serving out different kinds of, or Sudama, sorry. So again, this particular devotee comes in the line of Sudama. So the whole book is a perspective from someone in his position coming in that line. So you hear about Sudama and boys who are his associates and so on. So here he's mentioning Sudama. They engage in serving out different kinds of sweet preparations. They distribute fruits, flowers, assorted sweets, curries, and sweet rice. So they're eating again. They serve chapatis with sugar on them, obviously not refined, and cow's milk mixed with ghee. Balaram and Krishna enjoy eating along with Sri Dama, Sudama, Dama, Vasudama, Kinkini, Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, Subal, and the others. So these are very, some of Krishna's chief sukha friends, his sukhas. Sudama offers a forest fruit to Krishna, and Krishna and Haladara enjoy sharing it in great happiness. All their boyfriends are relishing supreme bliss. After they finish, they wash their mouths and sit down on asanas upon raised platforms where they chew betel nuts. So even the young boys in Krishna Leela, Krishna is given betel by his mother even. It's part of the, we can think of it as an intoxicant. Whatever it is in Krishna Leela, it's always appropriate. Everything that happens there is appropriate. At that place, the followers of Sudama render service by which Balaram and Krishna become supremely satisfied. Suchandra weaves a flower garland and places it around Krishna's neck. This forest garland swings and displays the pearls and coral that are woven into it. So not only flowers, but pearls and coral. Sukanta takes kumkum from the Malaya hills, rubs dark aguru wood into it, mixes in some camphor, and rubs it on the bodies and limbs of Krishna and Balaram. So we know in the spiritual world, whatever you want to serve Krishna, it's available. So even the Malaya Hills, to give Malaya Chandan, they're there because the cowherd's boys and the servants of Krishna, who's everyone in Vrindavan, want fresh Chandan for Krishna. So Malaya is there. Then Sundar Gopal waves a white chamra whisk while Sukhananda, very blissfully offers them fresh betel nuts. I'm laughing because we have Sukha, Ananda, and very blissfully offers. So he's really saturated with bliss and happiness. Sukhananda blissfully offers. Rasa Chandra brings the water pitcher before them, and Sumahendra holds an umbrella made of fresh twigs and leaves. Sumukha and others massage their limbs as Rasangada massages Krishna's feet. Krishna leans on the shoulder of Sri Dama, and Subal stands before him while a myriad of graceful activities are performed in the joy of supreme bliss. I want to mention this just because it popped into my mind. I don't know if everyone knows, but our Krishna Balaram, this is not a traditional pose of Krishna Balaram. Generally, Krishna Balaram stand next to each other with their arms down. This is Srila Prabhupada's bhava being manifested for our worship. Prabhupada actually, I think he made a sketch, if I remember. He explained it. He may have even made a sketch. So this is coming from Prabhupada's heart, the way Krishna and Balaram are standing. This is unique. And of course, there was a little joke Prabhupada asked on a walk one time, who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram? And the devotees, they really didn't know how to answer. They were thinking maybe Balaram because he's strong. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna's stronger because Balaram is leaning on Krishna. So this is Prabhupada's ecstasy manifesting in the form of Krishna Balaram as we're so fortunate to be able to worship. So just a little bit more here. What can I say about the magnificence of Balaram sitting on the same seat with Krishna? The effulgence of their two beautiful forms appears as if the sun and moon have arisen simultaneously. These youthful Yugal Kishore brothers agitate the mind with their sheer beauty of fresh adolescence. One realizes the Siddhadeha in the company of Guru Rupa Sakha, cowherd boy. So this is again about this elevated position. Cowherd boy in the form of one's spiritual master, and thereby participates in this scene. Thus outlines the service to Balaram and Krishna at the end of the Madhyana Kala, the midday period. At this point, I have narrated up to the 24th danda from 3:12 to 3:36 p.m. So these are a few hours from sneak peek into Krishna's day, especially Krishna and Balaram with the cowherd boys. Hari Bol. So anyone like to say something?
Hare Krishna. So out of four sakhas, Rupa Goswami described Priya Narma Sakha serve most intimately, but they're still there. Sthayi Bhav is not Madhurya. So they are serving very, very closely, but still they are not relishing the same Madhurya Ras. And their service is still in Sakya.
Whatever your relationship with Krishna, that's perfect. You're not hankering for something else. Even this material world, it's not like, you know, the child wants to be, the little boy wants to be, of course, maybe there's some weirdness going on, but generally not. Doesn't want to be the parent, doesn't want to be the husband. The boy doesn't want to be his mother's husband because they're enjoying a higher rasa. He's experiencing his rasa with his mother. That's perfect for him. The idea is just that this doesn't happen. So it's not like anyone is missing anything. Everything is perfect. Everyone is perfectly satisfied. Even the lower ones, they're satisfied. The servants, they don't have intimacy with Krishna like the cowherd boys do. That's another. Each one of these, I was just reading this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is explaining this to Rupa Goswami. So there's a certain element that's added as you, quote, go up in the rasas. But that doesn't mean anything is missing. This is a spiritual world. Everything is perfect and full, and everyone is perfectly complete. Again, this is more or less reflected in the material world. Boys have their friends, and they're not thinking, well, I wish I was his girlfriend rather than his boyfriend. At least not normal thinking in that way. That's not the most important perspective, you can say. It's one perspective, but it's not the most important. The most important and significant perspective is each devotee's relationship with Krishna is perfect for that devotee. There's nothing wanting. I can see the cowherd boys. They're enjoying like anything. Every moment, there's not even a thought. They're so absorbed in every moment, completely, in Krishna, or Balaram, who's also Krishna. So there's no question of anything lacking in what they have.
Thank you for that. One more follow-up question. So in one category of devotees, have the same mood, but Krishna has a unique relationship with every single jiva. So
yes.
How much variegatedness is there in the same category?
How much what?
Variegatedness is there.
Well, unlimited variegatedness. Each of us is an individual. So Krishna enjoys, just like again in the material world, you may have a group of friends, but each one of them is a little bit different. And you may have a different kind of relationship with them. I remember growing up in groups of friends, and sometimes, you know, each one was unique. We would sometimes make fun of one of them, or we would point out something. Well, this one gets angry all the time. And so maybe the leader of the group interacts differently with each of the boys in certain ways. So Krishna's unlimited, so it's no problem for him. It's not, he's very together. We use this expression. This person's really together. Doesn't get bewildered. So Krishna, it's not a problem for Krishna to exchange exchange with us on the most intimate level. He knows us better than we know him. So he knows what we want. He knows our desires. So, of course, even we see, of course, in Krishna's pastimes, just like Madhu Mangal, he's one of the cowherd boys. But he's different. He has his personality. So each one of them has their personality. And Krishna wants that. He wants them. He wants to enjoy. There's nothing boring in Krishna's pastimes. So he has unlimited friends because unlimited desires to enjoy in unlimited ways. And of course, he's able to do that. It's not a problem for him. And so there are certain basic things, the sthayi bhava of sukha rasa, the basic sthayi bhava. Sthayi is like sta. And we have so many words in English with sta, stay, stationary, and so on. So sta means the foundation, what's fixed. So there's something fixed. They're all cowherd boys, and they have a particular overall mood, bhava, with Krishna. But there's uniqueness also. There's variety in that. Okay, yes. We have a cameo appearance by Dasharatha Sutta Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for reading that. It's very nice. Of course, these kind of topics comes from Srila Prabhupada giving us ample warnings and precautions that we don't take the divine leelas as something mundane.
Yeah.
But still, as a human being, you know, I was a little boy at one time, so when I hear you reading these little boy things, you know, we kind of resonate with that. Like, yeah, we want to run around and play these games and imitate the birds. And
yeah.
So that might be a glimpse of our pure desire of the jiva wants to rejoin those pastimes and stop our little detour that we've taken here.
Jai. Okay, we'll stop here. Lord Balaram ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.